Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel on the entire internet. Let's get straight to the docket. First, a few more thoughts about the court's decision last Friday in the Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell hearing. Second, censorship. It's bad. Always. Third, six escape in California. A bigger question must be asked. Fourth, a story about a police officer that will shock you. Fifth, Suzanne Morphew is still missing 8 months later. Six, a story for the you can't make this up category. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. Before we get to the docket, first, if you haven't done so already, please subscribe. Hit that little like button over there in the corner so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And as always, leave me a comment below about what your thoughts are about what we talk about today. Now, first on the docket, a few more thoughts about the court's decision last Friday in the Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell matter. For those who don't already know, there was a hearing spread out over the course of 2 days last week based upon the allegations made by Lori Vallow's attorney, Mark Means, and it was joined by Chad Daybell's attorney, Mr. John Pryor. So we had a hearing based upon these allegations that come from an interview where during the introductory conversation between the prosecutor, Mr. Mark Wood, and a witness who happens to be Lori Vallow's sister, is recorded by Ms. Shiflett's attorney. Well, needless to say, this tape gets turned over to Mark Means and he blows it up. And let me just say, we've talked about this. We've actually put the transcript up. It was emailed to me before it was even available basically on the internet. We put it up at scottreich.com. You can go check that out. Read it for yourself. You can also listen to the court hearing that we put out there live, and there's nothing on there that was misconduct on the part of Mr. Wood. I said this from day one. I don't get it. But needless to say, the court set it for a hearing. I believe the court made the correct decision at the end of the hearing. Little surprised at how long it took, and it certainly seemed like he allowed the defense, who had the burden of this particular motion, to show that some misconduct had taken place and that the due process rights of both Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell were somehow harmed. Needless to say, the court said, you haven't met your burden. Oh, and by the way, if there was something that was inappropriate, unethical, the appropriate venue for that would be through the Idaho attorney regulations. And guess what? There was somebody there listening to those proceedings. And why would attorney regulation be that involved in a hearing where the judge is taking evidence? Well, more than likely, those allegations had been made to the state bar. And so they figured, let's just have one big hearing and resolve it once and for all. Needless to say, it didn't go like the defense planned. First, they didn't call Ms. Shiflett to say that she was intimidated in any way. She wasn't called to say that she changed her story based upon the conversation that she had with Mr. Wood. That is what would have been necessary for that motion to prevail. Additionally, the two experts that were called by the defense simply didn't give the defense what they needed. First, you had the psychologist who was up there saying, oh, these words could be used to suggest something. Okay, would be, could be, it doesn't matter. Until you have a witness come in and say, yes, this is actually what happened, it's all speculation. Then you had the law professor who was in there saying, oh, this was really bad. You should never do anything like this. I don't know where this guy's practiced law or if he just teaches class in the law school, but he has no concept of reality whatsoever. And like I said, you can take a look at that transcript, nothing inappropriate, with maybe the minor exception. You shouldn't really say that somebody is a bad attorney to somebody that's involved in the case. Is that going to sway their opinion in some way? I doubt it. But these are real conversations that attorneys have with victims. As you may recall, Miss Shiflett is the aunt to JJ and Ty Lee. That's right, the two deceased children. So I think that they need to have the right to know what's going on with their case as it relates to a family member. Additionally, what did Mr. Wood say that was so offensive? He said that when Mr. Means is not out there calling him a liar, which is true, he's been saying that from all along, that he's never done a felony case, and maybe someone will be competent in the sense of someone who is a competent criminal defense attorney would get on the case. All true statements of fact for sure. Now, next, I was a little disappointed. Now, I have said I don't have a whole lot of professional respect for Mr. Means. As you may recall, he made a big deal early on where he said that his calls with his client, Lori Vallow, were somehow recorded at the jail. And if one or two was recorded by accident and they had investigation, they called officers to the stand that testified and said one or two were in fact recorded. But once they determined that there was an attorney-client call, guess what? They deleted it. The remedy was not a reduced bond, okay? Just like Mr. Mean saying, the district attorney was mean to me. The correct remedy is cross-examination at trial to make the district attorney look like a bad guy and he doesn't play fair, not a dismissal of the charges. Simply not good. And that's exactly what Mr. Means did in this situation as well, asking for the wrong remedy on something that doesn't amount to a hill of beans in the big picture. I guess, though, what I'm really disappointed in is I really liked Mr. Pryor. I thought he did a really good job at the preliminary hearing for Chad Daybell. He really laid things out. And, you know, the case wasn't going to go away after that hearing. The standard of proof is very low. It's not proof beyond a reasonable doubt. But he started laying the groundwork. And so I thought that Mr. Pryor was, for lack of a better term, the adult in the room for the defense. But he not only joined, but then he kind of got a little rambunctious in the hearing. And I think he knows it wasn't the right thing to do. Maybe his emotions got the best of him. The next thing is, what a waste of money. Now, let's just say reasonably, I don't know what Mr. Means charges per hour, but let's say he's charging $300 per hour. We were in court 2 days last week, but that's it, all right? But you have to consider, when you start talking about attorney time, to get the information, review it, investigate it, analyze it, do some research, talk with experts, hire, retain experts. Let's say those experts each cost $5,000 to get a retainer for them to review the material and write an opinion and then show up in court. Let's say $5,000, being very conservative right there. But the attorneys probably had 80 hours into this little endeavor. So guess what? 80 hours, $300 an hour. Guess what? $24,000 in billable hours. Add on experts, another $10,000. $34,000 of time and effort that went into that. Wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall when Mark Means had to contact Lori Vallow and explain, oh, our limited resources and funds were used, say $24,000, $34,000, maybe it was divided up, maybe it's a flat fee and it really doesn't matter, but let's just assume it's by the hour. Spend that kind of time and money and got nothing out of it. But what did they get out of it? I think they lost some credibility with the judge. The judge, what did he finally say, Judge Boyce at the end? We need to have civility. He expects that in the courtroom. He expects that out of the courtroom, just like any judge will tell you. And that's expected of all attorneys. So I think they lost a few points with the judge. And when it comes to being an attorney, you have one thing, and that is your reputation, all right? And if you fly off the handle and everything is a travesty of a mockery of a sham, and this is outrageous, and you're offended at everything, guess what? The courts don't listen to you because you're the guy that always goes off the handle. And when you really do have an issue, guess what? They're not going to look at it as closely because you're the guy that always goes off the handle and is always outraged and is always upset with everything and what everything on the other side does is completely criminal. You lose credibility. Now, what did they get for sure? They now have a pissed off district attorney. And why should the district attorney be pissed off? It's one thing to say, you're being mean to my client. Oh, why aren't you giving my client a better deal? You can't prove your case. Well, the district attorney believes that he can prove the case, and if he doesn't think he could, he has an ethical obligation to dismiss the case. He clearly thinks that he can. But now when you accuse the district attorney prosecuting your case, the same district attorney you may have to go hat in hand with and ask for a plea bargain in the case, he may. Now, I think Mr. Woods will be professional about it and do the right thing. But guess what? He's going to make those defense attorneys stew. And bottom line, he pissed off the DAs. Can you imagine if someone went around calling you a liar and unethical all day when basically your job is to be a truth teller, to bring truth to the table? That's right. You would be pissed. I'm telling you, your reputation is what gets you places. As a defense attorney, it's what gets you maybe a little better deal with the district attorney that you've dealt with before, that maybe you've gone to trial and you've won, or even if you lost, you were a straight shooter and you played fair. They're going to remember that. And if you don't file motions every time something goes up, when you really do file something, they'll take a look at it. I've had district attorneys, I've had judges refer me clients and family members. Your reputation and competency matters. Next on the docket, let's talk censorship. Ladies and gentlemen, censorship is bad, okay? What is the definition of censorship? Censorship is the suppression of speech, public communication, or other information on the basis that such material is considered objectionable, harmful, sensitive, or inconvenient. Censorship can be conducted by government, private institutions, and other controlling bodies. Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of whatever side you are on in the latest world events regarding censorship, be careful what you wish for. It may be great if your side is the one doing the censoring and saying, this is wrong, this is horrible. The tide could turn rather quickly and you could be the one that's being censored. And just remember, like all witch hunters, remember like the old witch trials way back in the day? Somebody said you were a witch, prove you're not a witch. You know, can you float? Can you do weird things, not do things? Oh, you must be a witch. Let's burn them at the stake. Witch hunters hunt. And when witch hunters run out of people to look at for other people, then they start turning inward and saying, ooh, maybe you're not as much of a Puritan as we thought you are. Maybe you should have joined the other people and we're going to censor them. That's right. What are some other forms of censorship? People burning books. Can you believe that? Yes, even here in the United States over the years, people have burned books because they thought it was too insensitive for people, too mature to handle. Well, that's where the free ideas come from. And even if they're ridiculous ideas or you think they're ridiculous, guess what? They should not be censored because of a simple fact. The truth will ultimately come out. Going back to Lori Vallow really quick. Mr. Means made those allegations. If the court had just dismissed him and said, I know Mr. Wood, he is a good guy, he is an ethical prosecutor, there would have been people that would have said, oh my gosh, the judge is covering up. They're blacklisting the attorneys. He's not doing anything. He's been censored. So let's have a hearing. Let's have a discussion, right? What do we say? Let's talk about it. Because let's talk about it. Not everybody is always right. Not everybody is always wrong. There may be some really good points on both sides. But when you censor people, it's always wrong. And yes, you too, people, have been the victim of censorship by YouTube on our little channel here. We've had videos blocked. And if you may recall, we try to keep things pretty respectful. We don't badmouth people. We just lay out the facts. But we've had YouTube say that our videos are too sensitive. And they said they've restricted them for people under the age of 18. As well as they've demonetized it because somebody at YouTube, if there really is anybody that works at YouTube, because you can never talk with anybody, that's right, they've censored us. It's a form of censorship. That's right. If you don't want to watch it, you can turn it off. You can unsubscribe. You don't have to listen to anything that Scott Reich and Crime Talk has to say. But it doesn't mean it should be censored. I have lots of people that have left comments saying, Scott, I don't agree with you, but I like your analysis. You come across as fair. That's what we do. We talk about it. Be careful what you wish for, because pretty soon the people doing the censoring could be at your doorsteps. And I know we have talked about this before and we've mentioned this quote, but Martin Niemöller, and I hope I got his name correct, but he made this very important quote. And I think it's symbolic of the censorship. You have to stand up for censorship, even if it's for or against things you don't like, but you have to defend people's right to absolutely say it. That's what the First Amendment is there for. But Martin Niemöller made this quote, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." Now, obviously, that had to do at the time when the Nazis were coming and rounding everybody up. And a lot of people went along with it and thought it was okay, because guess what? It didn't affect me. Eventually, it comes back for everyone. All right, on to a little lighter subject here today. Six inmates escape from jail using a homemade rope to descend down prison walls. And I think the bigger question is, in California, why were they even in custody? Shouldn't they have been given a PR bond immediately? Well, six people have escaped from the Merced County Sheriff's Office, and they all range of between ages of 19 and 22 years old. It was first believed that they first noticed that these young Utes of America were first spotted missing from the cells about midnight. Officers also determined that they were able to gain access to the roof of the facility and utilize a homemade rope to scale down the sides of the jail. Now, escape is probably one of the dumber crimes that one could possibly commit. Because first of all, where are you going to go? You have no money, you have no property, and you're probably going to return home. And guess who's going to be waiting there for you? That's right, the police. It makes no sense. But first we have Gabriel Francis Coronado. He was in custody for gang involvement as well as felon in possession of a firearm. Then we have Manuel Alan Leon, who is in custody for assault with a firearm, shooting at an inhibited dwelling, and evading police officers and reckless driving. In California, this certainly sounds like personal recognizance bond type of charges. Andrew Nuez Rodriguez, he's 21, and he was in charges of attempted murder. Maybe not even going to get a PR bond in that, but needless to say, I bet they find him. Edgar Ventura, 22, felon in possession of a firearm. And then we have Jorge Barone. He was charged as a violation of probation. He's on probation. I assure you, whatever his probation violation was, he's going to prison, and then he's going to get the escape charge. And his quality of life in prison is going to suck. Why? Because he is an escape risk. So if you're in California, be on the lookout for these young gentlemen. I know someone's going to say, how can you say gentlemen? They're escape prisoners. When you have one person, it's an individual. When you have more than two, they're gentlemen. Remember that, ladies and gentlemen. Next on the docket, a case involving a police officer that will absolutely shock you. A Memphis police officer was arrested Sunday and charged with kidnapping and killing a man while he was on police duty. Some people may say, well, that doesn't sound unusual. Well, apparently, there was no legitimate police involvement here whatsoever. The police officer, now former police officer, Patrick Ferguson, allegedly shot and killed 30-year-old Robert Howard after forcing him into the back of a squad car and taking him down the block. According to police reports, Mr. Howard was last seen at his home Tuesday and was reported missing by his girlfriend the following day. She was able to track down his cell phone to the side of a road near where the body was found. Ferguson was on duty at the time and knew Howard, allegedly took Howard from outside his home and forced him into the back of the patrol car. Ferguson then allegedly drove Howard about a third of a mile where he shot him. Investigators found internet searches for cleaning up crime scene and destroying DNA evidence on Ferguson's phone, as well as evidence that he purchased cinder blocks, chains, and other items that were found later to hide evidence, according to the police affidavit. According to police reports, there is surveillance video obtained by the police that shows the shooting of the victim while Ferguson was on duty. Ferguson was arrested and immediately relieved of all his police officer duties. He's been charged with first-degree murder in perpetration of aggravated kidnapping, especially aggravated kidnapping, abuse of a corpse, and tampering or fabricating evidence. Why would there be abuse of the corpse? Well, because Mr. Ferguson recruited a friend by the name of Joshua Rogers, who apparently has helped lead the police to the body, where they found the body, the corpse, in the river. That's right. There's the tampering with the evidence. Certainly, we'll give Mr. Ferguson and Mr. Rogers the presumption of innocence, but one could, I think, clearly conclude that Mr. Ferguson, the police officer, may have been involved in some extracurricular activities that may have been of the illegal nature. We'll continue to follow that case because that's clearly one that's a little shocking, not something you'd expect from a police officer. Next on the docket, Suzanne Morphew. 8 months since she disappeared from her home here in Colorado, still she has not been found. Still, there have been no arrests whatsoever. The Chaffee County Sheriff's Office has said that obviously they've made no arrests, but they continue to work on the case on a daily basis. There's been a lot of speculation about perhaps Suzanne Morphew's husband having some involvement, but there have been nothing that would amount to enough to rise to the level of probable cause for an arrest. Obviously, Mr. Morphew is given the presumption of innocence, and hopefully there will be a break in this case. My guess is it will be sometime in the spring when the snow begins to thaw. We'll have to wait and see. All right, so if the stories today haven't caused you great concern and maybe even made you believe that you cannot trust anyone, the one way you can get that trust back is by doing background searches on people. That's right. I assure you, it will help. Go to crimetalksearch.com and you can sign up for a background subscription service. When you sign up, you can anonymously search as many people as you would like. They're never going to know you did the search unless you tell them. But when you get that search, literally millions of public records are searched, a report is generated while you wait, and you're going to get information regarding the person that you searched, their social media footprint, all of their involvement on social media. You're going to get emails. You're going to get phone numbers. You can ask yourself, why does this person have 3 active phone numbers associated with him? Why all these email addresses? You're going to get a criminal history background check. You're going to get property records, divorce records, civil judgments, and property records. All the things that you want to check out if you think that something just doesn't feel right. If you're going to get involved with somebody, go to crimetalksearch.com, check them out. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, a case that clearly comes down to you just simply cannot make this up. 2 men have been arrested after allegedly stealing remains of military veterans from a cemetery in Florida, and then they subsequently used these remains for religious practices. Police officers were able to make arrests because the perpetrators in this particular case left behind cigarette butts. And what have we talked about all the time on Crime Talk? That's right, DNA. Cigarette butts, DNA can be collected. When the DNA tests were done, there was a match with an individual by the name of Brian Tolentino. He's 43 years old. When they met with and interviewed the suspect, Mr. Tolentino, he confessed going to the cemetery with another individual by the name of Juan Lopez and committing the crimes. Apparently, Mr. Tolentino stated that he used a crowbar to open the vaults and then remove the heads from the deceased remains. He stated they removed 4 heads from the 4 graves and returned to Lopez's residence, where they were reused in a religious practice. The religious practice called Palo Mayombe, which was a religion that developed during that era and in Cuba among enslaved African people and their descendants. and that they robbed the graves of veterans because they needed remains from those who have done something heroic. Both Tolentino and Lopez were booked into the Polk County Jail on their Lake County warrants and charged with 4 counts of disturbing the contents of a grave and 4 counts of abuse of a dead human body, and are currently being held on a $40,000 bond. Clearly, ladies and gentlemen, you just cannot make this stuff up. Next, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. A Florida man rode his airboat through the streets of his neighborhood on New Year's Eve, threatening to kill police deputies as they were taking him into custody, according to police reports. Deputies were apparently called to the residence of a man who turned out to be a gentleman by the name of Joseph Prohaska, riding an airboat on the street before pulling into his front yard. Apparently, Mr. Prohaska thought it was funny to go down the street, knock over trash cans while shooting fireworks during this entire incident. As the deputies approached on the scene, Mr. Prohaska turned the airboat on and started to rev the engine to cause a disturbance and mocked law enforcement. Prohaska was placed under arrest but began making threats when deputies also tried to take his father into custody, saying, quote, "I will kill you if you hurt him," end quote. Needless to say, Mr. Prohaska is starting out 2021 facing charges of disorderly conduct and making threats to law enforcement officers. Well, guess what, Mr. Prohaska? You are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. Congratulations. Maybe we can make your 2021 a little better. Because if you are a dumb criminal contestant winner of the week, that's right, you will win cool Crime Talk merchandise at no expense to you. You can ride it on your airboat. You can maybe take it down to a meeting with your probation officer. It really doesn't matter. It's completely up to you. Now, if you would like Crime Talk merchandise without having to become a dumb criminal contestant, simply hint the link below. It'll take you right there to Teespring. Have your stuff in a week or so. You'll be happy you did. All right. Thanks for watching. We'll see you tomorrow on Crime Talk. And don't forget, we also have our Tuesday night live, and then immediately after that, our Patreon show. Please join us. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow on Crime Talk.